Support for this News from Lake Wobegon podcast comes from the Sleep Number bed by Select Comfort, the bed that lets you adjust the mattress firmness to your preference, your sleep number.
Thank you so much. Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. We've had a rather wet summer so far, and then this last week we got just a few days of beautiful sunshine like this. People are just pathetically grateful. The gardens have taken a hard hit from all of this rain, and in the midst of it, it just seemed a little unlikely to people to look out in Irene Bunsen's backyard and see the state of her tomato plants, a little bit too good to be true. She's always grown the biggest, the best, and the earliest. But these had an unnatural look about them, and there were rumors around town of the use of stem cells, introducing tomato DNA into these from the stems of championship tomatoes. Irene had no comment on this. She simply said that envy is such an unbecoming thing in one's neighbors. And then she got in her car with a whole other delegation of people and headed off to North Dakota for the funeral of our old English teacher, Miss Lewis. It was the week when swimming lessons began down at the swimming beach, and the young children learn how to float, and then they learn how to bob and how to put their faces in the water, and they learn the breaststroke and the crawl and the backstroke, and then one day they swim all the way out to the diving dock, and they climb up, and they put their little toes on the very edge of the dock, and they look down at the water, and their mother, standing on shore, does not breathe for a moment, and they put out their hands, and they duck their head, and they dive into the water. And if they think of it, and if their taste runs in this direction, they swim underwater for a while, until she cries their name out loud, and then they come up. Swim class is being taught by three young high school women, one of whom is stunningly beautiful, and the other two not so. And so the swimming lessons have attracted a number of young men from the high school who gather around and talk or pretend to talk to the two not-so, keeping their eyes on Cinderella standing over there with the children. And the two not-so learn what their role in life will be. It will be to serve as public relations people for the great beauties of the world and to tell the world what the beauties are up to socially and what they've said lately and what their likes and dislikes are. The stunningly beautiful girl is a blonde girl with her hair in a long ponytail. She is Pete Peterson's granddaughter, and she does not seem to have gotten anything genetically from his side of the family, for which she is deeply grateful. The fear of genetics runs in his family, Pete Peterson's family. They look at this old, stubborn, hard-of-hearing man, and they think, please, Lord, don't let me grow up to be like that. He's gotten pretty deaf because of all those shotguns that have gone off right next to his ear. He used to hunt ducks from his bedroom. He liked to just open up the window. Kind of shocked his wife some fall mornings, kneeling there and firing at incoming ducks. Then he went and got the cheapest hearing aid he could find. That's just in his nature. He always believes that cheap is as good as anything else, not when it comes to guns, but everything else. He was the head of the Lake Wobegon Rod and Gun Club until the clubhouse burned down the night of his birthday party about 5 years ago, something that nobody who was there has ever said anything about in public ever since. But it destroyed the Rod and Gun Club clubhouse, though most of the stuff that was inside it was rescued. It was a slow, smoldering fire. And most of what they saved from the club is now stored in a big Zephyr bus parked in Pete Peterson's backyard, a bus from the 1940s that he's always meant to renovate and turn into a luxury camping vehicle for other Rod and Gun Club members and their family, with bunks and a bathtub in the back. But now that it's stuffed with things, it's hard for him to get around to renovating it. In the front of the bus are two large stuffed elk that he got from the Elks Club many, many years ago, which were stuffed in a seated position. The two elk are sitting in the two front seats of the bus, and their legs are crossed, and they look as if they've been in a very rough fight. The bus has been sitting there for about 10 years, and he's been meaning to renovate it, and then the tree fell on it and knocked a hole in the ceiling, and water leaked in, and now vegetation is growing around those two elk, and vines are twined around them. And a maple tree is grown up from the middle of the bus out through that hole in the ceiling, a descendant of the tree that fell on the bus. But still, he's never given up his dream of having a beautiful restored bus from the 1940s. It was at one time a lovely thing. The town council has held many hearings on this bus in a backyard, people wanting to think of a way to get rid of it. But because he is so hard of hearing, there's not a whole lot they could do. Until this last week, a couple weeks ago, the Sons of Canute announced that they might give their temple to the Rod and Gun Club for a clubhouse. And this was exciting news to people, because that bus could now be towed and parked in back of the Sons of Canute temple, and all the junk in it put in there where nobody would have to look at it anymore. The Sons of Canute is a dwindling lodge. Somehow the sons of the Sons of Canute have been unwilling to master all of that arcane Norse wisdom and code words and all of the ritual and the ceremony and the great wisdom of the rune tablets, which show that the Vikings possessed a great knowledge of technology, even way back in the 12th century. They didn't understand the internal combustion engine yet, but they understood cruise control. And this is all down there in the tablets. And all of the wisdom of the Canutes and their rituals, and the ritual whereby the two Canutes hold their swords up as they meet, and they say, Erst West, Yemma Best, East West, Yemma Best, go Altid Lia Yem, always go straight home. And they turn and they take 5 paces away from each other, and then they turn and they say, Oya, and they walk towards each other, and the one taps the older one on the forehead, and the older one says, Podamma Day, Ervi Alalia, on Judgment Day. Are we all alike? And they hook little fingers and they pull and they let out a small and precise fart, which is one of the most difficult parts of the Sons of Canute rite to master. Some are better at this than others. To the sons of the Sons of Canute, this is dumb indeed, and nothing you would want to do around other people. So the Sons of the Sons of Canute founded their own lodge called the Sons of Bernie, and they go off and they meet about twice a year. On the coldest night of winter, they go out into the woods and they drink beer and they complain about women, but so forth. Now, Pete Peterson was in a mixed marriage, is in a mixed marriage. They're still married, so far as I know. To Eunice, who was raised Catholic and then got a Shining Star scholarship from the Sons of Canute and went off to the University of Minnesota, where she fell in among Unitarians, which was a great relief for her to get away from all of that smoke and the candles and the statues and just be with a lot of really smart people sitting on Sunday morning and talking about ideas. Unfortunately, she was not very good at the University of Minnesota. She was not really a shining star. She was more like a dim, pale moon. So she dropped out and she took up a wild, reckless life for a few years until she was in Las Vegas and her shoulder was injured by a mirror that fell off the ceiling of a motel. And then she came back to Lake Wobegon. And who knows why, penance perhaps, she married Pete Peterson, and they've been married all of these years. Now it was Eunice, who was a friend of Miss Lewis, the old English teacher, who died a week ago Wednesday. I knew I was going to get around to this. Eunice was a friend of Miss Lewis's, who came to Lake Wobegon when she was 22, and she taught for 55 years and retired at the age of 77 and got in her car to drive back to her home in Deer River, North Dakota, and got only so far as Fargo, where she checked into a motel not feeling well and died of a heart attack during the night and was found by a cleaning person. And her body was sent on to North Dakota, to Deer River, though she knew nobody there. Now, she was a famous English teacher. 55 years she taught everybody who came through Lake Wobegon High School. She was not an easy person, and that was what she did for us, I suppose. She forced you to memorize Shakespeare. And she gave an F to any paper in her course that had even one little tiny misspelling in it, which over the years was resented deeply by so many young people, but which made proofreaders of all of us, so that we were able to look at what we had written and pick out the mistakes. Or if we could not proofread, it taught us to develop our social skills with people who could proofread. She did this and made this inestimable difference in the lives of all of these young people, most of whom did not really care for her. You had to memorize a Shakespearean sonnet in 10th grade English for Miss Lewis. You had to memorize When in Disgrace with Fortune in Men's Eyes, or When in the Sessions of Sweet Silent Thought, When in Remembrance of Things Past, Let Me Not to the Marriage of True Minds Admit, one of those sonnets. And if you failed her course, she made you memorize Emily Dickinson's Success is counted sweetest by those who ne'er succeed. To comprehend a nectar requires sorest need. Not one of all the purple host that took the flag today can tell the definition so clear of victory as he defeated dying on whose forbidden ear the distant sounds of triumph burst agonized and clear. You had to memorize this, and you never, ever forgot that poem. Ever. She was a woman with dark, fierce eyes that looked like feed pellets. And her hair smelled of a kind of a strange disinfectant, as if she washed her hair in the toilet bowl. I didn't know. People were angry at her. Students made fun of her. People wrote ugly limericks about her. There was an old lady named Lewis who tried to teach grammar to us. But she simply can't, because she's smart as a plant, and you know what a houseplant's IQ is. Terrible things were thought about her and written about her. I once was fascinated by the idea of someone, a stranger, falling in love with me because of these little ads that I read in the back pages of Popular Mechanics magazine. Those little tiny ads, they advertise love cologne. It was a special cologne made from love chemicals. And when you splashed a little bit of it on your cheek and a woman came near, when she breathed in this love cologne, she could no longer resist anything you asked of her. She was compliant with anything you wanted her to do, anything whatsoever. And then I thought, what if Miss Lewis came? And suddenly I would have this horse-faced, old maidy schoolteacher in my arms. No, I didn't think love cologne would work for me under those circumstances. Eunice Peterson was a friend of Miss Lewis. She said, we ought to send a delegation out there to North Dakota to attend her funeral. We were her family. She didn't have any family back there. And I grant you, she wasn't the easiest person to get to know, but she did a lot for the kids of this town. Students who are off all parts of the world owe a lot to this woman because she taught you to look critically at something that you yourself had just done. And if you're able to do that, then you've got your first step, your first basic ability to try and do something in this world. We ought to send somebody off to that funeral. Pete Peterson said, nah, she's dead. What does it matter? Let the dead bury the dead. But that night, a bunch of the Canutes were down on the sidetrack tap. And Wally, behind the bar, dinged on a glass. And he said, it's been 40 years, but I still remember this. Let me not to the marriage of true minds admit impediments. Love is not love which alters when it alteration finds, or bends with the remover to remove. Oh no, it is an ever fixed mark that looks on tempests and is never shaken. It is the star to every wandering bark whose depth's unknown, although his height be taken. He did it all through the end. If this be error and upon me proved, I never writ nor no man ever loved. And when it was done, they voted to send a delegation of 20 to Deer River for the funeral of this old lady. And by the next morning, it became 40. That whole busload, all those old men went up to Deer River, and they got up to the little town, and they found the funeral director and nobody there. The funeral director said, I could call a minister for you if you want one. No, they said, a minister wouldn't know this woman. We're the people who know her. We'll put on the funeral ourselves. And they had brought all of their Canute's regalia and their sashes and their swords and their hats with the plumes and the coats and the knee pants. And they put them all in and they paraded in. And they did the whole ritual. Go altid lia yem podamade avi ala lia usta best yem best. And they turned and they bowed and they hooked their little fingers together and they pulled, and 40 men simultaneously let a small elegant fart. And they sang till Norway. I solsken och hein kan vi glemma gamla Norway. They sang Hilsa dem der Yemen. Tears ran down their cheeks as she lay in her coffin. And then at the very end, a man walked up to the coffin from the back, an old man, and leaned over and took her hand and wept. And he said, my angel, if it only had happened to me, not to you. And he kissed her hands, and he kissed her dead cheek, which looked a great deal like her cheek when she was alive, but never mind. He kissed her, and then Pete Peterson rose up out of the seats, and he said, don't men handle her like that. Don't slobber over her. She was somebody to me, too. She was my first love. He fell onto the coffin. Eunice came up running. Pete fainted. He fell on the floor. Eunice fell on top of him. It was a terrific funeral. It was a beautiful funeral. Love, it is the star to every wandering bark, whose depth's unknown, although its height be taken. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.